Blog Talk Radio.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And happy Sunday, advocates. It's 8 o'clock here on the, actually in the middle of the desert, and it's also 8 o'clock on the West Coast, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. This is the Pitbull Advocate, and we're back for another round. Tonight is, I'm calling it Advocacy Outreach, and this is a conversation that we've touched on before. It's relations between advocacy groups and rescue groups, territorial. It's just, we got to, there's a lot of this infighting and territorial things that go on, we read about and hear about, and some of us may or may not be involved in some of this thing, these sorts of things. So tonight we've got Cheryl Huerta with the Portland Pitbull Project, and she's done a lot of this work up there in Oregon. We're going to be bringing her on here real quick. And also let me introduce you to our co-host here, Joe Frazier. Thanks for being here, Joe. We know you've been going through a lot. Joe Frazier, Love and Pit Rescue. How you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I say, you've been in the rescue. How long have you been involved in pit bull rescue? Not just Love a Pit, but as far as your advocacy work, and your, how long have you been involved in this?
We started out with our advocacy work and being a placement program, catching pit bulls before they went into shelters and helping the owners find homes instead of turning their dogs to shelters for 12 years. And we went 501c3 and full-blown rescue 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So you've been at it for quite some time. Real quick, I'm going to get Cheryl into this conversation. Cheryl, welcome to the Pitbull Advocate. Thanks for being here. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
It's this is a topic, like I say, we've had this on here before, as far as the relations between certain advocacy groups. Cheryl, you've had firsthand experience with a lot of this. If you want to share that with us tonight, as far as real quick, let me put this out there, Cheryl. I'm sorry. This is a call-in show, advocates, and the number here is 929-477-2860. If you got any questions or comments for us on this topic, or maybe you've had any experiences on your own on it, we're not in here to call out. We're not going to call out anybody, particular groups. We're just, just the things that we've experienced in going out there. 929-477-28.
Are you there, Patrick?
Patrick, did we lose you?
Hi, are you there?
Hey, guys, am I getting cut out here?
Yeah, we lost you there for about 10, 15 seconds.
Okay, I'm gonna go try and keep this up. I apologize. I'm working on got this new phone that I'm plugged into here. Let me try something different here. Okay, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah,
loud and clear.
Okay, all right. Let's see what happens here. I got the headphones out of there, and now I'm just actually gonna work on this thing here, so we hope it doesn't cause too many issues as far as the sound quality. Okay, so Cheryl, go. What have your experiences been here with this type of thing?
Well, like you said, Patrick, this is an issue that we have discussed before on your show, and I think I've discussed it on another show or two that I might have been on from time to time. And I'm getting a lot of feedback.
I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Can you hear me, Patrick?
hear me, Patrick?
Yeah.
I keep hearing myself talk back at myself.
Okay, well, that's not a good thing. We're going to try this here again. Advocates of policy. It wouldn't be entertaining if we didn't have this. Okay, Cheryl, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, it just goes with the territory. Yes, it does. Oh, that's much better. We've talked about this before, and I've talked about it on other shows, and it does seem to be an issue. I've been doing this for almost as long as Joe has been doing his rescue, and it just seems like as an advocacy group, one of the hardest obstacles that we've had to overcome is forming partnerships and relationships with other rescues. Joe's rescue has been one that we've supported as much as we could over the years, and I think his rescue is probably the one we have the closest relationship to. But here in this area, it's what I found is there are some rescues that they're pretty much they want to do it all on their own, and no matter how many offers you make to them to help get them exposure so that they have a larger audience or group of people that might want to adopt their dogs, and we're talking about pit bull rescues here. I don't know. It's just been really tough. And it, like I told you earlier in a message, I've kind of lost my passion a little bit for it because it just seems like I'm always running into walls. And I'm a person that believes in teamwork and networking. So it's really kind of hard to understand why someone that needs to get their dogs adopted wouldn't want to have a working relationship with someone that can help expand their the people that are know that they have dogs that are available. So that's kind of what I've run into. And then you mentioned infighting. That seems to be there's a lot of drama, it seems like, and seems like a lot of infighting goes on. And I've kind of cut back over the years. We still have our monthly bully walks. I'm available for anyone, any rescue, any shelter, any individual, anytime to help them network, to get a dog out that needs to be adopted or find a foster for that dog. I'll do as much as I can wherever, whenever I can, anytime anyone reaches out to us. So it's just kind of disheartening. You know, that so many people are kind of, well, this is my thing, and I'm going to do it my way, and I don't need your help kind of thing. So it's a really tough one to go. Like I said, we've had a pretty close relationship with Joe, and we try to work with them as much as we possibly can whenever they need our help.
Now, are these groups turning people away? Are these individuals that going, hey, I want to help someone that might want to volunteer, or is it another group going, hey, you know, if there's anything we can do to help you and network a dog, and it's a territorial thing. They feel like maybe somebody's going to steal their thunder, you know, and maybe you know, or you know, kind of get the take the attention away from them, because it seems to me with some people, everybody wants to be Shorty Rossi. Everybody wants to be the next Pit Boss. Everybody wants to be the next Tia.
I get the sense that that's kind of the deal sometimes with some people.
This is a call-in show, 929-477-2860, 929-477-2860. Why do you think that is? I mean, what are the things that we can do to help open these doors when we feel we've been shut out of trying to work with other groups? Because that's the reason we're doing the shows. You know, we do this for the dogs, and we also want to promote groups like Joe's and groups like yours, Cheryl, and other rescue groups out there. Is there something that we can do? We had talked to even Foster on this show a couple weeks ago when he was on about some sort of a conference that these rescue groups and these advocacy groups can come together and meet and exchange and share ideas and tactics, and we can combat these these laws, the breach specific laws, the bans, and help prevent these dogs from even making their way to their shelters, so that you know. And I'm not trying to put anybody work at a rescue, because it's, you know, I don't think that's ever going to be the case. But what can we do? Any ideas?
Well, I think talking and getting it out in the open. I think conference would be a good idea. Foster would be a great person to get involved in that. Someone like Shorty Rossi, I think, would be a really good person to get involved with that, because Shorty is all about networking. He's all about teamwork, working with other people. I don't know. I just think, unfortunately, one of the things that comes along with rescue and advocacy and caring for animals is you get really tender-hearted people. And some people that are tender-hearted, I think, have more of a tendency to be a little dramatic, you know, and maybe a little bit like almost my way or the highway kind of thing. Like, I don't agree with my big thing with local rescues and stuff was that they advocate for one kind of dog training, and I have a preference for another kind. So I have actually lost relationships with people because I just won't say, well, yeah, you're right, that's the only way to train a dog, so I won't even talk about this other method anymore. And so they just kind of ostracize you. They don't want to have anything to do with you. And I think there's a lot of different ways to train dogs and help dogs, and I'm willing to work with anybody. But unfortunately, sometimes that's not the case with other people.
I have to say, I think in recent years it's been getting better. It used to be I wouldn't even touch a California dog because there was just too much drama involved in it. You know, somebody always coming in from a group and attacking your rescue while another member went in and pulled the dog, et cetera, et cetera. And,
yep.
You know, I've found in the last year, Cricket is a good example. My newest service dog, the shelter down there was top of the line shelter. They even have quiet rooms for anxiety dogs, et cetera. They found out that I wanted to use her as a service dog. She loves the mental work. They went out of their way to make sure that she got transported up here to us and everything. We didn't have to do anything to get her up here. I'm currently working with another rescue and have their blue and white Kimmy up here. I'm finding that it's getting better. I think people are starting to open up and finally realize that if we're going to save these dogs, we have to work together. And I have to say that I felt in recent months, you know, it's opening up and rescues are starting to talk to each other and ask and lean on each other a little bit more. And I got to say, it's a welcome sight.
Yeah, and over the years, I have run into a lot of people that I've contacted online and helped them network for dogs that are hungry for help. They're hungry for anybody that they can find to be one more voice, you know, one more connection to get word out about their rescue and their dogs. So I agree, Joe. I think it is getting better. I hope that we're getting past the, the training issue a little bit more, and people are beginning to realize that there's a lot of different ways to do things, and the main thing is that you focus on helping the dogs.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Again, 929-477-2860 is our call-in number, 929-477-2860. Cheryl, you were just, you know, we're talking about the training there as far as the different methods, and there are different ways of doing things. And one thing that I've said is, you know, the world of pit bull advocacy is maybe we don't have to all be on the same page, but as long as we're in the same book.
Exactly. I think in today's political climate, we see that there's a lot of mindset like, well, if we don't agree on everything 100%, then we're not going to talk. And I think we need to figure out a way to get over that, because we have to share the focus. You know, the infighting is very damaging, and I don't think sometimes people realize that because of infighting, you're harming the dogs, because the dogs are the ones that you're trying to benefit. They're the ones that you're trying to work for. And if you can't manage to work together, it's not very beneficial for the dog.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of dogs that I would have pulled in California years ago if it hadn't been for all the conflict in the first 3 years we were trying to run. You know, it basically shunned me away from dogs down there for a long time. And, you know, it's sad that the dogs are the ones that pay for it.
Well, yeah, and then we also have this state line thing. I just wish, and there's so many wonderful rescues out there, and I talk to a lot of people, connect with a lot of people in all over the country, and they don't care where a dog came from. They'll help anybody, and they don't care where their dog's going to, as long as the people on the other end have met all the criteria for being responsible for receiving the dogs. But the state line thing is just ridiculous. There are people up here in Oregon that get very angry if you even mention to them that you're talking to someone in Oregon about, or in California or any other state about a dog. And they seem to think that dogs know state lines, you know. Well, a home is a home. And I don't think it should matter to people. But I think a lot of people get that, they get territorial, you know. Well, we have Oregon dogs that need to be saved. Well, a life saved is a life saved, the way I see it.
Yeah.
And I wish they'd get over that.
Yeah, I can agree to a point. The biggest problem, and why I used to do that a lot, I'll admit that I was guilty of it, is because, you know, we have to date that I know of, 15 pit bull rescues here in Oregon. Out of the 15 pit bull rescues that are here in Oregon, as far as I know, we are the only one that is pulling Oregon dogs. Everybody else is pulling California dogs. And a lot of the rescues up here are underneath the misconception that Oregon shelters are no-kill shelters. Well, they're not. We only have four no-kill shelters up here. So, you know, I guess that is what angers me more than anything. You know, I kind of look at that, you know, you clean up your own backyard before you start cleaning up somebody else's. But, you know, we've pulled a lot of Oregon dogs, and it doesn't hurt us to pull a California dog once in a while. I'm not beyond it. You know, even at that, Beth came from Louisiana. I just couldn't see her and her pups being euthanized. So, I mean, within limits also, you know, I mean, I agree on the other hand, a life saved is a life saved.
Joe,
well, it sounds like
Patrick. Are there any laws? I mean, well, I mean, sure, laws here. As far as, you know, the transfer of a dog from you know, an out-of-state shelter, California specifically, into Oregon, are there any... I mean, not that they would prevent you to do that, but what do you have to do to get that dog to transfer that dog to Oregon? Is there anything different than, say, pulling an Oregon dog?
A dog that's going to go from California to Oregon has to go to a vet. It has to be current on vaccinations. It has to have a health check and get a health certificate saying that it's healthy before it can cross state lines. If the shelter you're getting the dog from, or the person that you go down, like in Aspen's case that you go down to, has records saying that they're all caught up on shots, and you're just doing a health certificate. A health certificate costs about $50.
And who pays for that?
Sometimes
that's a cost
you
to the
can
rescue.
Get Sometimes you can get an individual, if it's owner surrender, to pay for it, but typically the rescue flips the bill.
Okay, so there's what's the furthest you've traveled to get a dog, Joe? Did you go to Los Angeles?
South
LA,
Carson.
South
LA for Carson,
shit.
Yeah.
That's a drive.
Yeah, we went down there to
That's
get
a drive.
Cena.
Uh huh. And what was the again 929-477-2860 questions for Joe and Cheryl. In the Pitbull Advocate, 929-477-2860. So, what was Joe? What was the purpose of the trip to get Xena?
Xena was a 9-year old. I actually got tagged on her on Friends of Carson's page. Xena was a 9-year old senior that had been basically bred half to death. When she was dropped off at the shelter, she had been in a fight and was scarred up and weighed a whole 28 pounds. And basically, it wasn't like the typical senior post. Typically, when a senior comes across, there's a bunch of people to network a senior and help get a senior out. Xena's page was active for about 2 weeks, and then it just died out. Everybody quit helping Xena. And so... being her situation and not having the same help as most would, and my weakness for blues, I had to go get her. Ended up, she had mammary gland cancer in 8 out of 10 of her teeth. We had her spayed at the same time, and they cut 6 pounds of skin off her stomach and toughed it up so she could walk normally because she would sway to keep from stepping on her own nipples. She was used and abused.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. And I think the groups that, if you're territorial, understand, may not say, well, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. Maybe, I don't know what her story, you know, the story of how many people were aware of her, but understand you got to do what you got to do to take care of these dogs. And if it means driving from Oregon down to damn near the border of Mexico to get her, So I really like to get some of the other groups on. I'm not trying to start a fight or anything on the show, but I'd like to get some of these groups. Cheryl and Joe, if you're interested in getting back in on this again, I would like to get these groups, you know, the founders and the directors of at least two groups, and have them sit down and try and work some of these things out as far as, continuing the dialogue on this sort of thing. You know, because I remember when I was with Scrap, it was people, you know, why are you going to, and it was even getting a dog out of county. His dog was, in Stockton. Why are you going to Stockton? You're in Sonoma County. You know, it just happened to be, the right thing to do.
Yeah. No, when we opened up our doors, we were pretty much exclusively pulling from LCAS down in Eugene. The director at the time was a pit bull advocate himself. He was... literally setting up kennels in the back parking lot to keep from putting pit bulls down. So we were working exclusively with them and pulling their dogs and helping them get dogs out. And that's really how we got our start and with other rescue groups and stuff.
Yeah. What is the pit bull population down there, and how many do you actually find that get into shelters and, that are actually, adoptable. Do you know what their numbers are like in that shelter as far as maybe a euthanasia rate or how many pit bulls are currently in that shelter?
I don't know about on LCAS. They haven't been open for like the last 6 years when we really started get going where we could pull quite a few dogs. Lane County decided to close down the shelter and turn it over to Green Hill Humane, which has basically a 5% rate of pit bulls going out, even though they had paperwork for us to be an approved puller. They would not reapprove us as a puller for their organization. And from what I hear, the organizations that are approved for pit bull pulls, 9 times out of 10, they find a reason to euthanize the dog a day or two before it's supposed to be handed over to the rescue. Up until recent years, LCAS.
I think we need to get in touch with them. Get me that contact info. We're going to get them on the show and find out why.
Okay. Up until recent years, Multnomah County Animal Services was only hitting about 10% of pit bulls making it on their adoption page. They went through a big investigation because the director at the time had a vendetta against pit bulls and was telling their evaluators to find any reason to fail pit bulls. Their adoption rate now is about 25% to 30%. So it's better, but it's still low. Actually, probably our best shelter out here on our side of Oregon for dealing with pit bulls would be Willamette Humane Society. Their director used to be the kennel manager. She's pro pit bull. She reaches out to rescues when they have hard to place pit bulls to try to get them homes. They hang on to pit bulls for 5 to 7 months. As long as they're healthy and they're not stressing out, they keep them on the floor. I've just really had to, you know, take my hats off to them in multiple situations. And when it comes down to we're full and so is everybody else, and they can't find a place to take their dog, that's where I recommend them to go, because that's where they have the best chance.
Mm-hmm. How you doing back there, Cheryl?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I just, I've kind of been out of the loop for the last couple of years. Like I said, I've kind of pulled back a little bit. I got tired of beating my head against the wall all the time, and I'm probably not putting as much effort into it as I used to years ago. So I just try to focus on the things that I think will be most helpful for the dogs, which is, I think networking is very important. I don't think people, you know, a lot of people complain about Facebook, and especially in the last year or two, it's gotten a really bad rap. But people don't realize that with one post, within 5 minutes, you could probably reach thousands and thousands of people, and most of those people that you don't even know, because it's a friend of a friend of a friend that's sharing that post. And I really think that we need to focus more on networking, because there's a lot of great shelters. There's a lot of excellent rescues. I think Joe and you too, Patrick, will agree that there's a whole lot more dogs than can be handled by those shelters and those rescues. And I would like to see some sort of formal or informal, more of an organized networking network, I guess, for dogs, because you know, a lot of people don't go on Pet Finder. A lot of people don't even know they want to adopt a dog until they see a picture of a dog that somebody on someone else's Facebook page, and they go, "Oh, what a cute dog!" And the next thing you know, they've adopted a dog. So I think we need to, you know, work harder maybe on keeping them out of the shelter, because I do know that not all shelters know how to deal with dogs as far as kennel stress goes. And I think there's a lot of dogs that have probably been destroyed simply because they don't do well in the shelter environment, which is understandable.
Yeah.
So,
Hey, Cheryl, I'm going to interrupt you here. We got about 30 seconds left on our clock here. And as I don't know if you know that, somehow we end up at least getting an additional 10 minutes after our 30 minutes. So thanks, Blog Talk, on that. Now we're not going to get cut off. So when you hear the thing, your show is going to end in 3, 2, 1. Just keep talking, because we're going to go. And when there you go. We got 10 seconds, right? But when you hear Dosha Mark, she's gonna let us know when we're getting close to that cutoff time. So
okay.
I really don't want to interrupt you there. So we're in overtime.
Hey,
networking is the way to go.
You mentioned Shorty Rossi earlier, and we need to do a shout out to Shorty because he is hitting cities all over this country this whole summer and into October. He plans to come to Portland in October. Right now, I'm trying to line up a local pet food store that is not a major chain that he wants to have an event at, where he can meet the public and talk about pit bulls, and maybe we can get some sort of adoption event going or something while he's here. So I really want to shout out to Shorty. Yeah. Check the internet. Find out where he is. Go see him.
Try Nature's Pet. We've had really good reception as far as this being a pit bull rescue there.
I will.
Yeah. We got to meet Shorty, 5 years ago. Has it been 5 years already since I've been here?
Oh, yeah.
I would love to meet him.
It's one of those things where you go in, you take your picture, you get an autograph, you go on your way. And it was hot. And that guy, man, you could tell he was just really heat. We were inside, but man, that day was taking it out of him. It's just like, I think we got the last picture in before he got his lunch, because the picture you don't see it in the pictures, but he's got two or three hot dogs on this plate in front of him, and he's just going, I want to take the picture.
he's go, no stop, that guy. I swear, he's always going, always doing something for somebody. He's done so many good things for dogs. And I'm really excited about him coming up here to Portland. And he and I have been talking for years, trying to get together. And at the last minute, something always seems to happen. So we're hoping to have a nice event for him up here in Portland in October.
Yeah, we had Ronald on the show a while. Boy, that was a long time ago. We had him on talking about that track that he did. It's been so long since I've seen the show. That's Ronald, right?
Oh, Ronald? Yeah. I haven't heard anything about what they're doing, but
yeah, is he still on the show? I don't have cable.
I don't think there is a show anymore.
TV.
There is. Okay. There isn't a show anymore. But that doesn't keep Shorty from doing everything he's been doing.
No, it doesn't. I try and follow him on social media as much as possible. This last show, Joe, I don't know how hard you got hit, but it's just like, cling, 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 cling. We got a bunch of likes at the Facebook page, which is great. Facebook.com/thepitbulladvocate. Post your events there. Post adoptable dogs, dogs in need. This is there for you, advocates. To use that. Post your videos. You know, put your videos up and stuff. And we'd like to be, you know, just keep in touch on that page, like it, and
well, we'll have to post some of our Bullywalk pictures. I really do strongly recommend that people get out with their friends and neighbors that have pit bulls and have, you know, other kinds of dogs, and just to get out and let the public see what kind of people have pit bulls in large groups. I think it really does make an impact, and I'm hoping that we're having an impact. I know they're all over the place. So I encourage people to do it wherever it is you live.
I believe and we are making an impact out here with our bully walks out here. I get people that stop me in the walk all the time and ask what it is. And, of course, as Gerald knows, I always carry some of their cards with me. And in the long run, you know, they see our shirt or whatever. Oh, you're a pit bull rescue, and get our card. And a lot of times we get offers for volunteers and stuff out of it. So I think it really is making an impact out here. The word's getting out, and people are interacting with us, and it's good.
Pitbull Awareness Day is coming up. It's a perfect time to do it. Pitbull Awareness Day. Yep. It's going to be here before we know it. And that's a really tough thing out here.
So.
Yeah. Arizona is a tough place to do your bully walks, especially in the summertime.
Walked 100.
Now if you,
and we had four people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was only there for about 10 minutes long enough to get my photo taken.
I think that the hottest I experienced down in Phoenix was 120. And conducive for not conducive. So even at a night, you could probably do these walks at night. There's a lot of nightlife going on. It's about the only time you can actually do anything. But if you find a nice, well-lit park and fill it up with dogs, you know.
There you go.
I'm just gonna let you guys do this and take all the credit for getting out there so you know what, you don't even have to do a bully walk out, because though they're great, take my word for it, they're a lot of fun and you meet a lot of people. But get your dogs out there, socialize.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing with Bean, was slowly, it was a slow integration into this public life. But she soaked it up. Yeah. Oh, dog mother. She's got them all day long at the Home Depot.
Oh, yeah.
I take Cricket with me when I drive Uber, and a lot of people are, wow, you got a dog up there? I didn't even know it. She was so calm. And then they start petting them and then realize it's a pit bull, and it's like, oh, wow. And, you know, I mean, it's just amazing some of the reactions we get, and she loves it, you know? She's
ever,
at work with
you ever
dad.
Get anybody
she gets
that
attention
wanted out?
On the side. No, nobody that's wanted out
you ever
so
get
far.
Okay, that's a good thing.
I had one gal get in and she saw the dog and kind of sneered like, "Oh God, there's a dog in here and we got a negative review on about an odor in the car." But you know, for the most part, I mean,
it might have been her upper lip. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wonder.
An odor in the car. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Joe, you should have said, no, that was me, not the dog.
Yep, excuse me. Yeah, it was me.
Excuse me, beans.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Yeah,
we just got to let you go. We've got about...
Okay.
Just about 4 minutes. So, Cheryl, you got anything to say? Got anything to say in closing here before we shut it down for the night?
No, I really hope that more people will learn to focus more on the dog instead of their personal stuff, because that's what we're all in this for, right? Is for the dogs.
Yeah, this would be a really great way for you to really get re-involved, Cheryl. If you don't want to, you know, we've been doing two shows a week, and we'll probably get down to that one day, but I'd really, really like you to be a part of the show in the future as often as you can.
Sure.
You got a lot of contacts. You know people. Yeah, you know a lot of people, and I think we all, the three of us, get along great. We have some great conversation.
Yeah.
We're
getting ready to invest into our shows. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I'd love to get Foster on the show.
Foster is on, he's on last week, Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday.
He and I
keep in touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do it.
You know, I'd like to get him. Definitely, definitely. Joe, why don't you give us I'm gonna go Cheryl quick. Give us your information on the Portland Pit World Project. And Joe, we need contacts for Love a Pit.
Okay, I'll go first. Portland Pit Bull Project. We have a Facebook by that name, but the page you really want to like and check out is the Portland Pit Bull Parade. It's on Facebook. We got 7 years of monthly bully walks on there and events, and we network for dogs, and we try to help Joe out as much as we can and keep him in the public eye. And that's about all I got to say.
Joe, how do we get in touch with you at Love a Pit Rescue?
Love a Pit Rescue, we have a Facebook page and a group page on Facebook. and www.loveofitrescue.com. Sorry, we added the rescue to it. And we have listings and everything at both sites.
Alrighty. And this is the Pitbull Advocate. My name is Patrick, a.k.a. Dogfather. Thanks again, Cheryl, for being here. And Joe, I hope you're feeling better. I'm really glad you made it in tonight. Awesome show, y'all. And I think we're looking at Wednesday night of Advocates. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ThePitbullAdvocate. Like it. And see you next week.
Take care.
This is the Pitbull Advocate. Have a good night, Joe.
Good night.